We've started our look at the fruit of the Spirit, love, and we know by what we talked about last week that God offers the fruit of the Spirit, love. Does not necessarily mean that we yield to it, but it does mean that God offers it. It is at our disposal, shall we say. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And that's the kind of love we need to be given. We talked about the definition of it. The willing, sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of others without the thoughts of return. And we talked about the aspect that we need to yield to God's love to demonstrate to others so that they will become believers in Christ. You know, this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. So love is very important to God. The Bible says that God is love. So we've got to understand the truth of the aspect is that we need God's love to love all people. If we don't have God's love for all people, then we will begin to want to pick and choose who we love or who we want to show God's grace to. There's plenty of things going on in the world today where I don't really want to show God's love to some people, you know. But God commands me to love. I'm glad that He offers it. I'm glad that He can do it through me because I can't do it myself. I can't show this type of love. I may be able to show this type of love to my children, but not to everybody, because people wrong me. People hurt me. People do bad things to me. You know, they get on my everlasting nerve. You know, excuse me, you're still on it. You know what I'm saying? So we've got to understand and come to the acknowledgement that we need God in order to have His love. It's not us loving others, okay? It is God in us, working through us, that we're able to love. The minute you think that you are the one in control of the fruit, it's the minute you don't have it. And you're walking what we call in the flesh. Walking in the flesh. So let's look at number four, I think, is where we left off last week. Love is God's tool for showing unselfish favor to undeserving people. God showed me favor whenever I was undeserving of it. God showed me love when I was undeserving of it. So what am I going to do? How can I do that? So if we look at the chapter of love in the Bible, and of course this is 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, 1 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, talking about God's love is a tool. God's love. Love is God's tool for showing unselfish favor to undeserving people. What we got to do it in the Spirit. Let's look and see what happens whenever we do it in our own power. 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, Paul is speaking here, and he's speaking to the Corinthian church. The word Corinth means carnal, so these people had a lot of problems, kind of like us. You know, I'm sure if they had an RU program in Corinth at the time, it would probably be packed to the gills. You understand what I'm saying? Because them people had some problems. So anyway, he says this, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity," talking about God's love. Whenever you see charity in the Bible, it's another word for God's love, agape love. He says, "I am becoming as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and can understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profit me nothing." Now, as we look at these first couple verses within this chapter, we must understand that we got to show God's love under the influence of the Spirit, or this is telling me that it will have no positive effect on others. Okay? If we're not under the influence of the spirits, then this love, if we're not loving through God, it will have no positive effect on the person's life, no matter what our level of sacrifice. No matter how much we're sacrificing to love these people, if we're not doing it through the Spirit, it's of no avail. Notice what he says. Look at these couple examples. It's kind of like we're just doing to be doing. Look at verse number 1. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know, speaking eloquently or in various languages doesn't get the job done. The result without the Spirit is that we're no more than musical instruments. Tinkling brass, you know, a tinkling cymbal, those things just get on your nerves. The cymbals, I don't know whoever thought they were instruments, but, you know, you got the band, you know, they're nothing but noisemakers. And if we're trying to love without the Spirit of God's help, then we're just noisemakers. That's what we are. We're sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. We're not going to have any effect on them. When David needed help, when Saul needed help, they come in and they played the harp. You know, some nice musical instruments. What if he'd come in, you know, like that monkey? It doesn't do nothing but get on people's nerves. It achieves nothing. And that's what we do whenever we try to love in our own power. Look at verse number 2. He says this, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. Man, this guy's got some understanding. And notice what he says, and all knowledge. And though I have all faith so that I can move mountains, but I don't have God's love, I'm nothing. Great understanding of God and an ability to communicate truths and live in them. That's what he's talking about. But the result without the Spirit, it amounts to nothing in people's eyes. Because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Notice verse number 3. And though I bestow all my goods, though I give in the offering plate, though I give to Reformers Unanimous, though I give everything I can, I go and pick people up. I go to work every day and try to help people. I do this, I do that. Though I give my body to be burned. He's talking about sacrifice there. You know. The result without the Spirit is that it is no profit to the giver in this life or the next. If we're not loving with God's love, he says this, he says, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. We need the Spirit's love. Notice the next several verses. Charity, verse number 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. It doth not behave himself unseemly. It seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. It beareth all things. It believeth all things. It hopeth all things. Notice this. It endureth all things. I like verse number 8. Charity never faileth. God's love don't know how to fail. But whether there shall be prophecies, they shall fall. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. If you turn over in your notes, I'm not sure where it's at in your book. I had to flip over the page for mine. It begins to give some definitions for these acts of charity. Suffereth long and is kind. That means it puts up with inconveniences. We are a people who do not like inconveniences. Anything that is a bump in the road, we have a tendency to get a little bit on edge about them. Person's not quite acting the way we want them to, you know. We don't like those things. It says envieth not. That means It lifts up others and not self. When we have God's love, the Bible says it vaunteth not itself. That means it's not prideful. It's not stuck up. It doesn't have to be recognized. When we love the way God wants us to love, we don't have to be recognized. Notice what it says. It says, it doth not, it seeketh not our own. That means it looks for what is right. It is not easily provoked. That means it responds right. Man, when we stay in the spirits, we respond correctly. My mother, sorry. She never remembers. Friday night, Mom. Praise the Lord. You're right. It goes on to say that it thinketh no evil. It always thinks right. Man, when we stay in the love of God, it always thinks right. It rejoices not in iniquity. It doesn't get excited about what's not right. But it rejoices in truth. It gets excited about what's right. Can I just say there's nothing like being right? There's nothing like living right. It goes on to say it beareth all things. Hey, God's love carries the weight. It says it believeth all things. That means it gives the benefit of a doubt. We often have a tendency not to do that, right? Nah, I know how they are. And we don't even give them the benefit of a doubt. We take it at face value, you know. He goes on to say, it hopeth all things. You know, love, God's love hopes for the best. God's love never wants to see people do poorly. If we're going to love the way God loves, you realize not God doesn't want anybody to do poorly. He's always the cheerleader, shall we say. How many of us see somebody mess up? I'm like, oh, I knew that was just a matter of time. Yep. It goes on to say, it endureth all things. God's love keeps on keeping on. When I can't love, God can. It goes on to say that it never fails. It works every time. God's love never fails. It works every time. But here's our problem. Number 5 in your notes, we often prefer the work of the flesh, self-love. We often prefer the work of the flesh, self-love. The definition of self-love is this: the willing or unwilling giving of oneself to benefit others with selfish thoughts of return. With selfish thoughts of return. This is what selfish self-love is. You wash my back and I'll wash yours. Not literally, okay? Just putting that out there. But you know, you show me a little bit of love and I'll show you a little bit of love. That's self-love. Self-love is always requiring a return. I did challenges this week. Shane better thank me. He better realize the work I put in. I worked hard on this thing. If he doesn't recognize me, I know that he doesn't care about me. Selfish love. I could do it as I teach class. Pastor's not here tonight. He probably one that really needed this message. He better thank me for being here on Friday night. Understand what I'm saying? Paul often called himself a servant. Throughout the Bible, you'll see that Paul often calls himself a servant. And Paul was, he knew a little bit about God's love. Paul knew a lot about God's love, but Paul always considered himself to be a servant. And you know what the true test of a servant is? It's to act like one when you're being treated like one. That's the true test of a servant. Paul said he was a servant of the Lord. You know, Paul said he was a servant of the Lord. If you'll read over there in Corinthians, he talks about a lot of stuff that he went through. Shipwrecked, you know, 5 times he received 39 stripes, I think it was, whips, you know, in perils often from his own countrymen. But you know, I never see Paul complaining in those things. I wonder how we would do in those things. Paul understood the aspect that he was a servant. He was a servant. I don't think we get that in our churches. I don't think we get that in our homes. That we are to be, we are in love to serve one another. Let's look at Galatians. Galatians chapter number 5. Of course, this is our key verse. Key verses are in this chapter, but Galatians chapter number 5, verses 13 and 14. It says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Paul says, hey, you've been freed. You've got some liberty here, but don't use this liberty as an occasion to walk in the flesh. He says, but with love, serve one another. Man, what kind of church could we have? What kind of city could we have if people would serve one another? He goes on to say, "For the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." How many of you remember Pastor talking about the royal law Wednesday night? There it is again. I mean, that's several places in Scripture. I would say God says that's pretty important. How much better would we be as Christians if we didn't look at what we could get out of somebody, but how we could serve them? How much better would our marriages be? How much better would our home life be? How much better would the job be? If you're like me, I'm too busy complaining about something at work instead of serving somebody at work. Notice these examples. A husband works all day long. He comes home and he expects a hot meal. And he gets upset when he has a TV dinner. Now he is willing and he is sacrificing in the aspect that he's going to work. Okay? So he is willingly and sacrificially giving. He's providing. But what he was doing is he was demanding a return. That's not God's love. He was demanding a return. I'm going to work. You are to cook supper. And something good. I mean, you know, you can hear him say, "Hey, yo, you're supposed to be cooking some supper." You know. A wife. A wife is home all day long. Tough job. Tough job. A wife is at home all day long. And as soon as the husband comes through the door, here's your kids. You need to take your kids because I need some me time. Right? I've been here with them all day long. She's willingly and she's sacrificially giving to her family, but at a moment's notice, she needs a return for what she is doing. She is expecting a return for that. And though these may seem fair, they are not biblical. They are not God's love. God's love is the willing, sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of others without the thought of return. I don't care if those others are the people at church. I don't care if the others are your family. I don't care if the others are your coworkers or the people that you go to or the people that you see at Food Lion, whatever they may be. The fact of the matter is we interact with people all the time. Life is about relationships. Both of these examples, they showed love, but it was self-love. They demanded a return for something that was done. It wasn't just loving to be loving. I think we're all guilty of that. I think we all need the Lord's help with that. God's love demands nothing in return. Jesus died on the cross, whether you accept Him or not. It does not change the fact that He loved you, the Bible says, and He gave Himself for you. It's not hinged on whether you accept it or not. There is a lost world out there. But God's love is not hinged on whether or not they accept it, because God just simply gave it. That, my friend, is God's love. I leave you with this. John chapter number 15. Let me get there. John chapter number 15. I think Pastor talked about this scripture Sunday morning. John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15, verse number 12. Jesus says, this is, if you have a red letter edition Bible, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "This is my commandment," not a suggestion, not something that you can take or leave, but He says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another," and not the way you love, but He says this, He says, "As I have loved you." Jesus, in all of His wisdom, He looked down through the portals of time and He understood the aspect that, hey, they can't get the job done loving like they love. They need to love like Me. So He gave us what's called a commandment. Is a commandment important? This is yes. This is no. This is when we're going to eat. It is important. It is a commandment. It's not a suggestion from God. It's not something we can just easily overlook and just say, well, He didn't really mean that. He didn't really mean for me to love the unloved. He didn't mean for me to love the drug dealer, the addict, the alcoholic, the guy that gets on my nerves all the time at the Walmart. He said, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Wow. Whew. I don't know about you, but that scares me. I can't do that. I can't do that. My only hope for being able to do a little bit of that is to yield to His Spirit, is to let God love somebody through me. Verse number 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." That's our Lord. What He done? The fruit God offers, the fruit of the Spirit, love. Not self-love, but love, the willing, sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of others without thought of return. May God help us this week to just simply love as He loved. As He loved. Let's pray. Father, we love You tonight. We're thankful for Your goodness and Your mercy. Lord, I'm thankful for the Word of God tonight.